Welcome to Bimmercast number 31. It is September 24th, 2010. It's Paris Auto Show season, if you can call it that. So we've got a lot coming up from BMW, a couple concepts to talk about tonight, notably the 6 Series and, of course, the next generation of the efficient dynamic concept that we saw last year in Frankfurt. In addition to that, we're going to be talking about the M3. 25 years of it, in fact, and spend a little time on that. We've, of course, got the Active E. Markets were just announced today, so we'll go over those. And then finally, we're going to be talking about sound systems, so stay tuned. Okay, so we're back, and hopefully this sounds a little better than last week. We're continuing to work on our sound quality, and you know, it's one of those things that we're both enthusiasts. We do this because we love this. We're not sound engineers. We're getting better, I think, and we're actually bringing some people in to help us. But please be patient, and please continue to give us some feedback. It was actually great. So with that out of the way, Michael, welcome. How you doing?
Gabe, good. Good. We welcomed in fall feeling, and now it feels like summer again.
Yeah, it really does. And it's a shame. I went to actually go drive my 5 Series today, which doesn't currently have working air conditioning. And I looked at my phone, and I saw the forecast. In Chicago, no less, was a high of 90. So September 23rd, and it's 90. So pretty rancid, actually.
Foul.
Yeah, really is. So there's been a ton of news, and we obviously have talked a lot about the 1M. I think we're going to put the 1M on the shelf a little bit this week, and talk about everything else that's coming up. Paris is going to be big, clearly, for BMW. There are going to be two separate concepts there. The first, and the one that we've already seen photos of, is the 6 Series concept. I think it may be called the 6 Series Coupe concept.
Yeah, I believe so. Foreshadowing that there could be other 6 Series models.
Yes, absolutely, which we've already seen a concept of as well. So the 6 Series is, BMW does this. They'll call a concept car, a production car, concept car. They'll put some different wheels and it's just some different leather, some different color of leather inside, a different quality of leather, and that'll be it. What this really is the 6 Series. I have to say, it's really, really interesting looking.
I love it, minus the wheels. I mean, honestly.
Yeah, I agree. The wheels are a bit much. I'm not a fan of chrome wheels. I'm just going to go out and say that. I think they're a bit ridiculous. And I don't understand why every show car has to have them.
Yeah, it's either that or they're really polished to make them look chrome. And now they're onto this multi-spoke crap too, so it's all like split up and I don't know. I don't get it.
Well, regardless, it's gorgeous. I mean, this new 6 Series, it's, you know what's interesting about it? When you look at the thing at first, it's quite a departure, but when you actually take a step back and you think about what's happening with the design and the form language, it's a clear iteration on the previous version. We had seen BMW, we got so used to BMW for 7-8 years, just completely reinventing the design of each individual model. And here, we're starting to see, quite clearly, BMW starting to refine. And this new 6 Series is, certainly, there's hints of that CS concept from a few years back. It harkens back to the shark nose from the 80s. And very clearly, it's all done in a high-level sort of design language that was created with the previous 6 Series. So the general shape of the entire car is pretty reminiscent of that car. But the details are different and really interesting.
Yeah, the shape is very similar to the previous model, absolutely. Except, for, you know, there's a lot more character to this car. It seems like the lines are much more taut and the car feels like, you know, just... It looks more aggressive and athletic.
Absolutely, it's like the blanket was tightly wrapped around the body of the car. The creases in the front are, I think, it's very, very specifically interesting. The headlights look gorgeous; they're all LED. Even the hood, look at the hood compared to the previous model, is really quite striking. I can't believe I'm saying this, a gorgeous car. It's gorgeous in a purposeful way. It's not something you look at and you just, it's not like the 458 Ferrari Italia. It's not something that's going to stop you dead in your tracks, but it's something that is just absolutely striking.
Yeah, it's great. And I love the new design language personally. I mean, we saw some of it with the X3 and how the doors are sort of inset. And we're going to see that more, I think, with the next generation 3 series as well. This is all culminating.
Yeah, it's really interesting to see what they're doing with some of the side work. One of the things that I find puzzling, at least at first, is that striking line going from the top of the front wheel well, kind of sloping diagonal down to the ground. It's a line that creates shape and shadow that indicates power to the front wheels. And of course, this is a rear-wheel drive car. So it's interesting. It's one of those things that I feel like is going to make a little bit more sense when you see it in person. But seeing it now, it's a new, I mean, frankly, it's a new look for a BMW.
Yeah, I think the only thing, you know, I have some issue with is the lower fascia on the front there with, you know, all the, it's not divided up. It's just all one big massive intake. That's probably for cooling, to be honest with you. Twin turbo, got to get the air going through there.
It's interesting. I actually kind of like it. It reminds me a little bit of the E46 3 Series Coupe, the very first design, very first few years of that before the LCI, which I've always said is by far and away better looking than the post-LCI of the Coupe.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Of the Coupe, because I think I prefer the sedan LCI over the original. But regardless, you're right. It's sort of all mesh grill. And, yeah, I see what you're saying. It was kind of this sort of, whoa, what are they thinking? And I've kind of looked at it over the past few days and grown to really like it. What I find interesting is the lighting. And BMW is they're not getting too cute with the lighting. I mean, yeah, there's LED in there. In fact, if you look at the video that we posted, you'll see the lights actually work. There's LED running lights, there's LED headlights, there's LED brights, and there's LED fog lights, which are at the bottom. And it's just interesting. Everything looks very functional with the way it works. None of it is cute for cute's sake.
Nothing like a Christmas tree?
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, not to compare Audis, and I mean, I don't really mean to bash
Mercedes
Audis,
Mercedes is doing the same thing. So.
Yeah, it's very purposeful, and I think it shows a level of restraint that is appreciated, frankly. One thing I've noticed, though, is that BMW is playing with this LED look. You know, for the longest time, I just assumed that they would go with the, Corona rings?
Yeah,
Halo.
July's.
Yeah, whatever you want to call them. Yeah. I just assumed they'd go LEDs and that would be their look forever and they'd never deviate from that. But they did with the E92 LCI and they've continued to deviate from it with this car as well. So I think we're gonna see different faces and different eyes on all the different models.
Now I have a question, Gabe. Looking at the official photos, you know, the quote unquote staged photos versus the Evo photos, the color looks completely different.
You know, it does.
I don't know if it's like that liquid metal the CS had, you know, it had like the metallic paint that actually looked like they sprayed literally metal on it. So I don't know if that's like a metallic paint rather, like not with metal flake, but actually looks like liquid metal. It looks like a flat gray.
No, you're right. You're right. I was
aluminum foil.
I was thinking that earlier. It's interesting. No question about it. Looking at this car, the more I look at it, the more, you know, Michael, you and I have talked about the 6 Series for a long time. How much, we frankly just don't like it. We see it drive down the road and you just assume it's some. And listen, I don't mean to offend anyone because I know there's 6 Series drivers out there that are not like this, that are enthusiasts, that use the car as a grand touring coupe, and that's fantastic. But there are a lot of posers in 6 Series, at least in Chicago. and you just look at the thing and you know. And this car just looks, I mean, I just kind of have to respect the thing.
I do. It almost gives it a whole new status or class of car, to be honest with you. I look at this and I'm like, that is just a great looking car, and I'd buy it. I mean, you know, I'd buy it, and I actually, when I'm older, much older, much, much older,
And you're
I may have one,
you have no
but
need for a back seat.
exactly, you know. But the previous one, I can honestly say there was not a cold day in hell that I'd ever buy the previous car.
It's funny, I drove in the back seat of a 6 Series for the very first time, the latest generation, in Munich at a BMW event, and I'll never forget it, getting in the back seat and my head immediately hitting the roof, the ceiling, and just thinking to myself, I mean, this is just a bad idea all around, you know. It's one of those shocking moments where, like, you realize that a 3 Series coupe is actually just all around a better car.
Yeah, then the one that costs, what, twice as much, if not
Yeah,
more.
yeah. Anyway, so the 6 Series coupe, it's foreshadowing the new 6 Series production model, and we expect it to be available late next year, is what I've heard.
Yeah, I would imagine so, if not sooner. I mean, it depends on the market, but we'll see what they do with that,
I would
because the old
expect
one
the. Oh, go
died
ahead.
early.
Yeah, it did.
Sorry, yeah.
It died early, quite early. And can we say why? Were we ever able to say why?
We were not allowed to say why at
Okay.
this time.
Well, it
Yeah,
died. We'll just say it died early.
well, it died early for reasons involving some testing that came up.
But on a positive note, I would look for this car to make its debut in perhaps Geneva.
Possibly.
The production version. Interior. We haven't talked about the interior, but the interior looks fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, if they can translate any of that into the production car, it's amazing.
I have to assume it's all production except for the materials.
You think so?
I
I
really
just,
do.
wow. I mean, that center console, like the whole thing is just
Oh,
crazy.
the interesting thing though is that display floating? Does it move up?
Yeah, is it retractable? I have no
It
idea.
looks it some in some angles it looks like it couldn't, and in other angles it looks like it has to. I mean,
Right.
just the simple fact that you have that crevice and you have to clean
Yeah.
behind it would just drive me nuts.
Driving you crazy. But it's interesting also from a design aspect how they kind of kept some of the same shapes and lines,
Yeah, from the previous generation, you're totally right. That's
which
one
I
of the
just
things.
imagine they would just toss it and start over.
No, but they have made the idea, or I should say the ideals of that first generation 6 Series, or well, I guess I shouldn't say first, but previous generation 6 Series, they've taken them and I think they've molded them into something that frankly just makes sense or looks better. It was this sloping cockpit that feels like it's angled quite literally towards the driver, for instance. And there's that just, big vertical swath of trim. And again, they've done that quite well. And I think one of the things that BMW is doing really well right now is this mixture of wood and that piano black hard plastic. And then, of course, that aluminum trim that you've seen a lot of the new cars as an accent piece. And it really creates something very striking. One last note about this interior. I love matte wood. I do not understand why we don't see it more often. It looks beautiful in this car.
I agree. I fell in love with it. The 5 Series Gran Turismo is fantastic. I don't understand why people do not like it. I
Yeah, it
don't
looks
get
more
it.
like wood to me.
I absolutely love it. Some people say it looks cheap. I think it looks great. I think all the gloss on the other stuff makes it look cheap, personally.
Absolutely. Could not agree more.
But yeah, no, it's really it's amazing. There's a lot of contrast to it. It's got a lot of movement to it. It's a nice interior. It really is. I think it's
And
going to set it off compared to everything else.
yeah, totally agree. One last thing, we see a new shape of the automatic shift knob here.
Yeah, I also believe that's in the X3,
Yep,
that
there you
shape.
go. And then since we're talking about the inside of the 6 Series, maybe we should talk a little bit about the stereo that we see debut in this car.
Yes, I think that is a good transition right there, Gabe. The stereo, B&O, Bang & Olufsen.
So you're a fan of their work, and I have to say that I have heard So many people complain about the modern BMW, and I'm using air quotes here, hi-fi stereo or optional stereo. It's sometimes it's labeled quite a few different things. I personally own a Harman Kardon from the E46 generation, the 3 series, and I've always liked it quite a bit. But that said, I've heard newer models. I even owned a hi-fi stereo, the higher end stereo, and a Mini, a 2007 Mini, and it was decidedly not hi-fi. It was really mediocre.
Yes, I happen to own the what do you call it, premium audio or the individual audio, whatever you want to call it, in the M3, the really expensive, ridiculously priced system, and I'm nothing but disappointed with it. And honestly, it's come real close to lemoning my car. Real
Wow.
close. Yeah, I don't like to gripe about my car, but if there's one flaw, it is the radio. And it actually today drove me nuts again. I don't know what its deal is. It likes to make a high-pitched pop that makes me feel like I just got crashed into by something, and then it goes dead, and then it turns back on again. But
Wow.
it's not being able to re be replicated, so it doesn't exist and it doesn't throw a code.
You know, one thing I will say, one thing about really simple systems is they just tend to work when you turn them on.
But aside from that, the actual sound quality of the system when it is working isn't really up to par with the other comparable systems from other manufacturers. I mean, we can go back to Audi, the A4. They offer the B&O in the A4. You have to get, the mid-level plus car, and then you have to pay for the $850 option. But it sounds amazing. It's great. It's a great sounding system. And then they have it in the A8 as well. And other manufacturers have been offering these systems in their cars. It reminds me of almost, I want to say the early 90s, where Bose was actually way ahead of everybody else with interior car sound. It's like B&O is just putting so much resources and effort into actually designing things that work for the specific car and not just taking a speaker off the shelf and throwing it in there.
Interesting. Well, it's beautiful too. It looks the part.
Yeah, and that's always been one of the, I think, the big setbacks with BMWs. When you get into these higher end cars, the 5 series, the 6 series, and the 7 series, when you're driving around in these cars, they're not as loud as far as the motor goes. They're more luxurious in feel, and you're expecting a higher quality stereo than the crappy cardboard speakers offered typically.
So let's move on to another concept we'll see at the Paris Auto Show, and I don't even know the name of it. It's the "Don't Blog About This" car, and we know what it is. It's an iteration on the concept we saw last year in Frankfurt. Michael, do you want to tell us about it?
Yeah, I mean, when we saw the Vision Efficient Dynamics concept, and over a year ago, there was no drivetrain in that car. It was a concept drivetrain that didn't exist. It was the diesel motor, 3-cylinder, with 2 electrics powered by lithium-ion batteries. And BMW promised us that it was being built, and we would see the concept with that motor and drivetrain in it at a future date. So this is what it is, and they've been working on the other bits and pieces, the efficiency technologies, I guess you can call them, of the car, such as the tires and how they're, narrow, but they're also going to have some pretty neat technology in there to make sure that the contact patch width is adequate for a performance car.
Interesting. They're also going to be low profile, from what I can tell.
Yeah, they're going to be pretty neat. Pretty neat.
So let's talk about this a little bit. This is a car that's going to have, and we've talked about this quite a bit, so this is not should not be a shock. It's going to have a pretty fascinating engine. My understanding is that in multiple sources, and again reported this for almost a year now, it'll be a 3-cylinder turbo diesel.
Yes.
So 3-cylinder turbo diesel, tons of torque, small engine, decent power, and it's going to be how do we robustly turbocharged. It's
Yes.
going to be very, very high tech, lots of power.
And very expensive to manufacture and sell.
And frankly, yeah, and I think there's probably a good chance that there's going to be a hybrid component of that as well.
Yeah, it's actually, it should be a front-mounted motor, electric motor, with a rear-mounted diesel and electric motor.
So to put all that in and think about the design and the shape we saw last year, and now what you have, and this is now going to be revised, now you have the second generation of this concept. And when it debuts, just think about it, you were looking at something that's going to be relatively close to production.
And the future.
Yeah, and the future. It's certainly, it represents a lot of the design, the aesthetic that we're going to be seeing, but the ideas behind it, BMW is really sold on these ideas. Now, granted, a diesel three-cylinder hybrid is not going to be the answer for the next generation M3. This is a very specific kind of car. It's going to be the, you know, the sustainable supercar, if you will. But from what we're hearing, this is going to be very close. This is going to be something that is going to be not just a concept. So pay attention to it when you see it, and just keep that in mind.
Yeah, it's going to make us change our thought pattern, I think, a bit, and make us really look at the way we think about performance and cars in general. It's going to alter a lot of things because, you know, people have complained that BMW doesn't have a halo to compete with the R8 and all that, but they're going to have this car, which may not be as fast as the R8, may not look as dead sexy as the R8, but you know what? It's going to get amazing miles per gallon, and it's going to just introduce the world to a whole new system of technology.
Yeah, and really what BMW is doing is they're saying, listen, we could compete, or we could theoretically compete against the R8, against the SLS. We could probably do that and be pretty good. But we're going to play a different game. We're actually going to move the ball in a totally different direction and create something that's going to make those other manufacturers need to compete with them. Now, I will say Mercedes is already, they're already thinking about this. I mean, they've got the SLS electric, which is going to be coming out. And, of course, Audi has an electric version of the R8. Which is in concept form, but very well could be coming out as well. So BMW is not alone in this, but I would say that to make a car electric is one thing, but to create something that's entirely new as far as propulsion is very, very interesting.
It's completely different. You know, I mean, you can strap an electric motor into a Mini. We've seen people do that.
We have seen that. You can, in fact, strap an electric motor to a scooter.
Could you imagine that and get about 60 miles on a charge?
I can't imagine that. So let's move on. Exciting stuff. Paris Auto Show. Look for it. It's going to be the public debut of the X3 and, of course, these two concepts. So we'll have tons and tons of photos and news on that very, very shortly. So the next thing, and I would love to keep the sustainability topic going here for a little bit. The Active E, this is, of course, is the one series based electric vehicle that BMW has created to have a field study. They're going to have this car available on lease. Excuse me, that was an ill-timed yawn. They're going to have this car available on lease for an expanded series of markets, much more so than the Mini E.
Yeah, and I'm actually quite excited about these expanded markets because I now enter a market.
This is a big deal. I mean,
this is a big deal.
So
big deal.
And there's a lot of updates to the Active E as well. It's quite a bit different than the Mini E. I mean, first off, there's a ton of smartphone integration. You can get the car charging. You can control the entire car from your phone. In addition to that, this is going to be liquid cooled rather than air cooled, and it's going to perform much better in the winter, which I think is going to be key. Of course, should have I think a little bit more range. Is that what you're hearing as well?
Yeah, I think the battery packs have been updated. They're newer battery packs, and I believe they were able to fit a little bit more into it, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. Don't quote me on that, but, you know, because they're actually putting the batteries up the middle of the car in addition to, you know, some of the trunk
and stuff. And this is going to be rear-wheel drive and a little bit quicker. I mean, from what I'm hearing, It's going to be pretty quick. I mean, around 8 seconds here to 60.
Not too bad. Not too bad. You have 90 miles an hour top speed, which, hey, that's pretty good. And this is, the step before the mega city. This will be 2011. Mega city comes in 2013.
And the mega city is, of course, huge. I mean, BMW is going to be creating an entirely new brand, sub-brand, if you will. We believe it'll be called the Isetta, which is pretty much what's been already announced. Of course, you've seen photos of the chassis already. It is going to be 100% carbon fiber with aluminum components, and it will be as light as you could possibly build a modern car.
That is just great.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. Now, think about also the technology that's going in this Vision concept, and think about that three-cylinder turbo. Maybe detune it, and stick that in your Mini. Stick that in your new one series front-wheel drive. Now think about the electric propulsion in the Active E, and stick that in your Mega City. And now you're starting to see what BMW is doing as far as their strategy for small and efficient cars. It's this tiered program, if you will, that you see these hybrids or highly efficient three-cylinder petrol or diesel engines in BMWs and Minis, and you see the electric propulsion in mostly the megacity vehicles. But, of course, can't rule out future BMW Mini vehicles as well.
Yeah, and there's, the mega city may actually even see like a range extender option at some point. So, which is basically a little small petrol engine or diesel engine.
Are you sure it's not a guy that sits in your trunk and just gets out and pushes?
That is effective also. that could help.
I think it, in fact, it'd probably be better if it was a monkey, and the monkey had a red vest and a red hat.
And he had some cymbals?
Yes. Yes, as he's pushing. So he's going to have to push with his back. Backwards, but so
that would be called a Yugo then, wouldn't it?
Yeah. you could call it a lot of things. Some would call it a beetle, some would call it one of the things that BMW's done this summer, and it's really pretty cool, is celebrated the 25th anniversary of the M3. So for all you who listen to our show and are here to listen about the awesome cars going sideways, now's your chance. We're going to talk about this M3 celebration, if you will, that's happened. And BMW this summer brought together all the M cars, invited a few select members of the European press, and had them drive all the cars.
I can't wait to move to Europe.
I know. And one of the things that I found interesting, in fact, I was reading Evo, last month's Evo, which is this month's Evo in the U.S., features a fantastic story, fantastic series of stories about the M3. One of those stories is by Chris Harris, I think one of my favorite automotive journalists. And he talks about the GTS, which he's labeled pretty much a disappointment, hands down, too much money. If it was... His words were, if it was the price of the CSL and they sold 1,000 of them, it would be fantastic. But at the price it is, which is quite high, it's just, frankly, doesn't make any sense. But his perspective is they didn't even have the M3 CSL at this event. And he believes that's because the CSL would have been as fast, if not faster, or at the very least, feel better than the GTS. And it's an interesting idea. I mean, we often talk about, the older cars feeling better. We rarely talk about them going faster. But it's going to be interesting in the coming years with BMW changing their formula for M cars, and specifically the M3. We've gone from 4-cylinder to 6-cylinder. To now, of course, the V8, and we're going to be going back to 6-cylinder but twin turbocharged. So it's going to be quite a different ideal.
Yeah, and I'm sure by the time the next generation 3 series, the M3 comes out, rather, there'll be some new federal law that requires bulletproofing.
Well, wouldn't it be interesting to see the, this is going to sound crazy, but wouldn't it be interesting to see the next generation M3 be a like quad turbo four cylinder?
That would be fun.
Something to think about. But, so the M3s were all trotted out, and there's quite a few articles out there about it. Definitely seek them out. This event was pretty special. Like I said, the Evo from last month was really fantastic and had a number of awesome articles in it. One of the things that they talked about, which is interesting, is that, you know, and we talked about it, and we had a recent article. I wrote an article about the slow car movement in the U.S. about the E30 M3 and how you can't really get the tail out in anger on dry pavement. You have to sort of wiggle it, and you have to kind of get momentum. And, you know, it's certainly a little David and Goliath. And, you know, that's one of the things that I love about my old 5 Series. One of the things I've always loved about older cars. And I was thinking, and Michael, I don't know, you could disagree, but this power race in the past 10 years, has it kind of ruined cars in a way?
I don't know if it's necessarily ruined cars. I think it's just changed everybody's mentality when it comes to cars.
Well, more
isn't really more.
But has it ruined us as people who drive cars? Do we just expect 400 horsepower out of a performance car? I mean, you've got people complaining that the 1M, I knew I was going to say something about the 1M, by the way. You've got people complaining that it may only have, you know, 345 horsepower. I mean, my God.
Only.
345 horsepower with a ton more torque.
Mind you, that's more than the previous M3.
Absolutely. It's more than the CSL, and it'll probably weigh less or weigh about the same.
Same.
So yeah. It's crazy when you think about what we expect out of a car.
Yeah, no, it is. And the V8 in the, you know, the E90 series is actually weighs less than the previous generation in 9.6, the motor itself. So, well, I mean, the rest of is from the car.
Yeah, but that's one thing I've heard. I've heard differing opinions on that. I know BMW likes to trot that figure out, but somebody once told me, and they may be in BMW or they may be somewhere else, but they were a person of authority, told me that sometimes they fib a little bit. Sometimes when they weigh those things, they don't count components that they may have counted before. So,
well,
so it's just worth noting that, yeah, look at the curb weight. I mean, I think that's always the key. The current M3 is a pretty fat kid.
Yeah, it's a great car.
It is a great car. You know, in fact, it's incredible how it feels when you think about the weight.
Well, I'll just tell you the pictures I have on my wall here in my desk and my Bimmer file office, as it were. I have the original Mille Miglia at the race there. I have a E90 M3 photo. I have a TII photo. I have an E61 M5, and I have an E30.
See, yeah. I'm gonna really. I have no BMW photos up at all. I have a Duesenberg, like parts of a Duesenberg, Porsche, Duesenberg, all engines, by the way. An old Porsche Le Mans car, and then a Maserati.
And then, yeah,
it's kind of, in fact, a couple more Maseratis. It's sad. I have no photos of BMWs in this entire motor file office, or motor file BMW, or Bimmer file office.
Yeah, no. Oh, forgot the 2002 turbo. Sorry.
Oh, there you go. Well, one last thing before we go, Michael. You were lucky enough to be featured in a BMW commercial.
What's up with that?
I mean, it was absolutely fantastic. I mean, I have had numerous people come up and say something who know me and know the site, and it was a really great commercial. I've seen a few of them, and yours was by far the best.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah, it was an honor to be featured as a BMW enthusiast on USA Network and Characters Welcome, I guess you call it. Basically, it was my wife and I and our life through a BMW.
No, it's awesome. It's a really good story. And all I can say is nice 5 Series.
Oh, thanks. Thanks. I got that for the commercial. That was what they gave me.
I love the fact that they thought the M3 would look too aggressive.
The M3 was too dark, too mean, and too aggressive, I was told. That was the car that, you know, that's the car I drive. Instead, we actually have my wife's car. And it's cuter and
Yeah.
tamer and more people friendly.
I love it. All right. Well, so that is the show. Of course, as always, questions, comments, or concerns, please write to us. We've got a contact link at the top of the page. And then, of course, there's iTunes comments. So if you'd love to leave a comment, we take the good and the bad, but we love the good. Feel free to head over to iTunes and do that. Of course, suggestions on topics, we'd love to hear them. We've got a ton of them, but we're happy to talk about yours as well. So just drop us a line. But until next week, when we'll be back with lots of news about Paris, and of course, we've got Mothport coming up.
Petite.
But yeah, this is Gabe. Cheers.
Michael, sorry.
I'll edit that.